are listening to the Art of Play podcast. This podcast is about play, not just childhood play, all play. I'm here showing how play and creativity are means of not just being better adults, but better, well-rounded humans. Happy Friday, everybody. Today, I'm so excited to talk to you a little bit about what series we have coming up. We have some amazing interviews that I've been working on for the past, actually, a few months. And I'm really excited to talk about some of these things and excited for you to listen to some of these interviews. But first, I wanted to sort of tee this series off with an introduction of sorts as to why this is important and how this actually involves play. And a lot of what I talk about on the podcast, when it's just me talking, I'm relating things back to maybe childhood steps or steps that we can all relate to because, you know, we've interacted in a way that we, you know, we can all kind of see patterns in how we've evolved as humans or how our progression is our own individual path and yet still has ties rooted in what other people are doing and how sort of the outline works just socially. And what I want to talk about today is how relationships really begin for all of us when we first interact with people, which initially, hopefully in healthy situations, we're interacting with people very, very early in our life. First eye contact, first, you know, time you grip somebody's hand, the bonds with, you know, your mother and things like that. So all of those things sort of require us to lay down some foundations that we don't really get to pick in the beginning, right? Some of those hopefully are really good, hopefully really good bonding experiences, hopefully really productive, hopefully they're, you know, not abusive, things like that. All of those structures that lay down foundations of trust for ourselves and, you know, interactive in a way that is productive for building other relationships, friendships and growth, or even learning how to communicate effectively in a relationship. All of those foundational things are begun at the beginning of our human experience. Now, In talking about relationships, a lot of that gets really complicated over time because as we grow and as we become more accustomed to different relationship structures, we make them more complicated and we add more layers of trust, but more layers of growth for ourselves and more predispositions, right? We begin to assume and expect things from other people, and they expect things from us. It's sort of a natural progression. It's normal. It's good. Some of those progressions, though, as we grow up, become a part of our conditioning that as we grow into adults, sometimes we have to rework. And sometimes we don't know we need to rework it until we get to the point where it's actually problematic in relationships. So what I want to talk about in this series is some of those key elements that we're going to tap back into in order to just do some self-checks and realize what it is that makes a good relationship for us personally, but also how we all have those foundational skills we tap back into. So in this series, we talk about all sorts of things and I have, you know, from the perspective of having a marriage relationship or, you know, a significant other relationship, we talk about having a, you know, personal friendships. But then I also want to talk about the relationship with yourself and your own desires, the things you want that are important to you, sort of those core values that even if maybe you're not being true to that for yourself right now, you have that core desire within you that you want to tap into. So in this series, we talk with a lot of people. We have, you know, one actual, you know, doctorate expert coming on who talks about sort of the relationship with self and how some of those foundational things are really actually fundamental in being in any productive relationship, and how you can actually stunt the growth of relationships if you're not in tune with who you are. And it's fascinating. All of this, I find it super fascinating. So I'm just putting it out there because I find it fascinating. Most of this, if you'll just, you know, pause the relationship side of things, most of this podcast is because I am fascinated by this. I'm fascinated by how integrated we become as humans in just assuming things about each other, in productively going about our lives, and yet not ever realizing we aren't tapping into the full joy of life because we refuse to acknowledge some of these innate abilities that we have within ourselves. And I think that relationships, that is a key component. So for this quick little introduction, it is going to be a short episode. So you probably already saw that by, you know, the timestamp on and when you pressed play. But this relationship series, we're going to talk about three things just here in this introduction. So number one, we're going to talk about the basis of all relationships, where they came from, how we learn to interact as children, teenagers, early adults, and how that's just kind of the basic underlying tone of all relationships. Number two, how can we find out what kind of relationships we actually need, as well as what we want? So what we truly are looking for is relationships that fill certain needs in our lives, but we want it to be fulfilled in a certain way. So we need to be able to define that for ourselves. Number three, the tools to build better relationships based on your needs and wants as an adult human. So number three kind of just leads into the rest of what the episodes will get into in all of these interviews. And I'll leave a lot of content to them because I'm telling you, these are fantastic interviews. They range from all sorts of time. I have a 35-minute interview all the way up to an hour. So be sure and allot your time correctly as we go forward. But let's get right in. So first of all, the basis of all relationships comes from our early interactions. So trust in friendships usually comes from those early interactions where maybe somebody wasn't a trustworthy friend and you had to learn that early on, or maybe you didn't learn that, you know, friends can be trusted, and so you do distrust friendships maybe initially, or it takes a really long time to warm up. Sometimes I am that way. And so early interactions usually began with playful interaction. So if we skip kind of the beginning of life, you know, just interactions based on bonding with an infant or things like that, the playful interactions that come from siblings or, you know, other acquaintances or, you know, cousins or family members, and then even maybe play dates and on up, sometimes that comes with a lot of anxiety, right? A lot of people don't have positive experiences of a lot of friends, maybe early on. But some people do. And hopefully the good overshadows a lot of the bad. You know, it kind of, kids are very intuitive. So showing a good friendship in contrast with an unhealthy relationship or friendship, kids are more apt to sort of sway towards the healthier relationship if they have those healthy boundaries in place, and they'll, you know, intuitively be drawn to the thing that's better for them or feels better to them. And some of that we've lost. Some of it we pursue, you know, sometimes we pursue unhealthy friendships until it's bad for us. And sometimes we're not willing to lay down really hard set boundaries to protect ourselves and also to protect the other person, right? Sometimes we don't understand that we need to step up for the benefit of both parties. So early interactions, it comes with betrayal and common interests, right? You have to kind of bond over something common. Assumed expectations. So there's sort of an assumption of this is the expectation, or these are sort of the rules we're playing within, and we're all going to assume we all know the rules, and we play in these boundaries that are just assumed. So you get really good at kind of feeling other people out for their expectations and boundaries, and you learn to play to that. I mean, we all sort of learn how to interact in a way that makes it so we feel like the other person accepts us, right? We're looking for acceptance and belonging. And so those come in assumed expectations, but also some spoken expectations, right? I expect you to be my friend by not being this person's friend. You know, sometimes that little cattiness comes out in kids, or sometimes like, oh, I was really disappointed you didn't make it to my birthday party. That day meant a lot to me. Some of those begin the rest of the interactions, and relationships are really hard enough without having the complications of poor communication or the social pressure or differing outcomes and goals, right? Some people have different goals of the relationship, and that can be really, that's hard. That kind of grinds on the relationship, because the goal of the relationship isn't, nobody's united on that front. So if that sounds familiar, maybe it sounds like a parenting book or a strategy book or a team building book or maybe a networking seminar or whatever. So, you know, things like that. But that's because good relationships take the same components in every aspect. So work relationships take some of the same basic concepts as, you know, your girlfriends who come over for a Friday night movie. All of those, you know, those differing relationships, however they're structured, all have the same basic components. And that is, there is a mutual, you know, agreement, either spoken or unspoken. Usually it's unspoken. Usually we begin relationships, we don't define the relationship up front. Usually it's just we're feeling this out. And then a lot of times we get further into the relationship and we just assume the expectations around that. So there's a mutual understanding of the relationship. In unhealthy relationships, that mutual understanding is, you know, I will take advantage of you and you won't mind, or you somehow it's weighted differently. And then you also need, from those assumed expectations, you need mutual participation. So even if you're withdrawing from a relationship, that is considered participation. You're making a choice to withdraw. So you need to be able to be, you know, mutually participate. Those are kind of the two very, very basic foundational parts of a relationship. So then moving on, we're going to just move on to number two. So how can we find out what kind of relationships we actually need and what we want out of those? And I think what factors we look for in our own relationship health, a lot of times we assume that about ourselves. So we assume we want a marriage that has X, Y, and Z. We don't actually talk to our partner about X, Y, and Z, right? Maybe we haven't even defined it in our own brain. So we don't actually have the language around that yet. We're just assuming that they will take care of X, Y, and Z. You know, maybe it's healthy, maybe it's not. I am not a relationship expert. I just have observed that we assume a lot about relationships, and a lot of the problems that come from relationships are those assumptions, you know, not being either spoken or being, you know, an unrealistic expectation, or even not moving towards the goal of the relationship, right? If the relationship, we're just going to use marriage again, if the relationship between a husband and a wife is meant to be, you know, we will work together to support each other in growth and dreams and, you know, eventually be able to support each other growing old, and, you know, after our kids leave, we still are interested in some of the same things, so we participate in each other's lives. Those expectations may not be laid out. I highly doubt anybody writes that out in their vows. They probably don't talk about that openly. But if my expectation of my husband is, you will always take out the trash, but he sees it as my job to take care of the house, and taking care of the house means I take out the trash. There's an I realize this is a trifling example, but those expectations are not lining up. And maybe those both people see that as the goal of, you know, working together, growing, you know, progressing down the path, but they're differing expectations. And if nobody says anything, the trash can become a pain point. So what I'm saying is how we find relationships we need, we're drawn to them. They fill something in us, and we are able to be productive and happy in those relationships. And we also are able to communicate our needs in that relationship. We are able to communicate with the other party about that relationship. I feel like relationships you can't actually talk about aren't productive relationships. So that's one thing. That how do we find the kind of relationship we actually need is being able to speak up about that relationship. Being able to alter its course is part of a productive, needful relationship. Now, if we don't know what we want out of a relationship, we aren't going to know that those needs are being met. So it's very important that we get to know ourselves in a way that we understand, oh, I'm actually putting expectations on this person that aren't being met, but I haven't communicated any of what I need or want or actually what I'm looking for. And so that the shortcoming in that relationship is actually on me. Now, knowing yourself is difficult, mostly because I hope most of you are looking to progress in your lives. And as you progress and grow, you become a different person. So in becoming a different person, you have to constantly be getting to know yourself, which honestly can be exhausting in times of struggle. When it's a real struggle to get out of bed in the morning, when it's a struggle to know yourself on a, I don't know what I want here. I've never experienced this hiccup in a relationship. I don't actually know what I want out of it. And it takes time. A lot of the anxiety I feel like in the world right now is a scarcity of time. And so we feel a rush to push some things on relationships because there isn't time to have a little meditation about how I feel about every little thing. Now, we're going to just back off of the relationship thing. But if you aren't taking time to get to know yourself, you're going to have a really hard time making anything work really well in your life. Because to you, your perception may be off. And maybe things just, you know, roll for you. Maybe you're just carefree and you just roll through life. But that's a different kind of expectation. You expect life to just come with you. Now, if in relationships you don't know yourself or you haven't thought about knowing yourself, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for you to have 5 to 10 minutes a day and just say, what is one thing that I like about myself? Or maybe it's one thing that I want to do in my life that I've never told anyone. Or maybe it's one thing that I would like to set a goal and move, you know, out of a bad habit or try something new or push myself to some new boundary. Maybe you need to sit down and have a little bit of a relationship talk with yourself. What's your relationship to yourself look like? And start there. Because a lot of us feel like we are betraying ourselves because we don't know ourselves. Now, our first episode, I will give you a little bit of a teaser, is an amazing prompt. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife, and she's a phenomenal prompter as far as finding your own desires and sort of tuning into who you are and what you want. It's her life mission to make sure that being true to yourself is a top priority in your life, because when you're true to yourself, you make very few choices that don't lead eventually to your happiness. Now, they may hurt and they may be painful, or there's a process to get to true joy and happiness. But in knowing yourself, you know what you need and know what you want. So how do we find relationships that we need? We need to know ourselves. How do we know what we want in relationships? We need to know ourselves. So most of the interviews we talk about, or in the interview, I usually interview the person, and it comes up. It comes up in every single person I've interviewed so far that if you don't know yourself, you're going to struggle in relationships. So if there's a struggle right now going on, you know, major, minor, anything, maybe just take a half a second to think about what you are bringing to the table, what you would like to take off of the table, and what you need to be doing for yourself. Okay, number three, tools to build better relationships based on your needs and wants as an adult. So as you start to get to know yourself, maybe you realize you don't have as many close friends as you would like, or as you thought. You know, maybe you've let some friendships slide. Maybe you've let them go by the wayside. Maybe even you don't recognize yourself because you used to, you know, in former versions of yourself, you were much more outgoing or were connected more closely to people. Something, you know, maybe something shifted, or maybe friendships aren't growing the way you thought they would. Maybe acquaintances don't grow into closer friendships. And in taking a look at yourself, maybe that's something that you want. So in looking to sort of gather some tools to build better relationships seem kind of tricky, because I think the unknown secret of adulthood is it feels a lot like playing pretend. You know, you pretend these things, you make them happen, you move on with life. You make things, you know, you pretend things, you make them happen, and you move on. And if, especially in the beginning, in early adulthood, I know I felt like playing house a lot and playing, I don't actually know what I'm doing, but I've seen it done. You know, I've seen the expectations of what's done. So I will, you know, I will execute what I think the expectations of being an adult are. And we carry those into relationships too. We have these expectations of what we think we should be doing. And we sort of put those expectations on ourselves. And sometimes it doesn't translate to the relationship. Sometimes that eventually makes us people that aren't the fun friend, even though we were the fun friend. Or sometimes we're not the well-connected friend because we haven't had time, or we, you know, we took time for building ourselves up in a different way. Whatever the case may be, some tools to build better relationships all center around connection. And true connection, again, going back to number two, knowing yourself. So true connection begins when you start to know who you are and start reaching out to the, you know, the people around you. And I think social media, as much flack as it gets for being, you know, having people feel really disconnected and having people feel really isolated, for as much flack as it gets, I think we have the power to take back for ourselves. So we can edit our feeds. We can interact with new people. We can reach out in ways that really, you know, it's like a soft reach out. You don't have to do cold calling. You literally send something to somebody's message box and see if they answer back. And usually it's somebody that you are acquainted with on some level. Maybe they don't know who you are. You know, social is kind of tricky because sometimes you're interacting with people that you don't actually, they don't know you for you. And quite frankly, you don't really know them either, because people's online experiences and expressions are just a snippet of their lives. But social media is a really good basic starting point. First of all, I would take a minute and do a slow scroll. And with each individual that you come across on social media, ask if, I mean, like Marie Kondo, their whole profile. If they don't spark joy, mute them. right? There's a bunch of people that I cannot say whether or not, you know, it's productive for me to watch them long term, let's say. There are people that I realized as I'm scrolling past, I would feel more envy than I wanted to, or I would feel down after reading their posts. And that's, you know, that is my takeaway. And so that's my responsibility. Your takeaway from social media is your job to monitor. And so I would mute them. And people that I was following because they would post things that I wanted to know about, you know, events that I would want to know about or things like that, I just, you know, when I think about it, I would go back and check in on them, or I would, you know, just look them up every now and then. And that's been the healthiest change I have ever made in social media, is either unfollow, delete, mute. You know, if they're important to you and you want to check in on their lives, just check in less. Check in less than their 4 posts a day or whatever it is that they are doing. But I will also say social media is the best soft reach you can put out there, because you send a message to their box and you know, logically, I think every adult knows, if they get it and they don't have time to answer, it's not the end of the world. It's not going to be an end-all be-all that you reached out and they didn't respond back right away. And it's a really good, if you are looking to make a shift in friend group, if you are making a, you know, if you are feeling lonely or disconnected, send out 10 soft reaches to people who influence you for the good. And if you get a response back, let it spark joy in you, right? Let social media find the good side. Right now, it can be really heavy. It can be really dark. It can be really depressing. And that's okay, but you don't have to wallow in that feeling. So yes, social media, find that soft conversation, soft reach. And then I would say practice being a gatherer. So if you are looking for deeper connection or new relationships, you need to practice the things that you're looking for, especially before it's going to feel like you. You need to practice the things that, you know, like I said before, standing in front of a mirror and talking to yourself positively takes practice. Or, you know, knowing yourself takes practice. And we can't necessarily cut off all connection and do that, because we're human. We need connection. So we have to be able to do that simultaneously. As you find a new you, you're going to have to learn how to modify on the fly for new friendships or new connections. And that's a good thing to do. Okay, so again, one last tool. It's going to sound really cruel. I know it's going to sound really harsh and really cruel, but I want you to make a list of the relationships in your life. They can be all of them. They can be the ones, you know, your most important ones. I want you to go through and rank how much effort you put into those relationships. Okay, now this is not a pity party. This is absolutely not a pity party. Because after you rank your effort, I want you to imagine how much effort the other person is putting in. And I want you to be nice, right? Don't be too generous, because we want a reality check. But don't be cruel either. Rate the other side of the friendship and see how much they're actually putting in as well. And if those two rankings don't seem to line up, like if they're only putting a small amount of effort and you are at their house every day, and that feels like a disconnect to you, then something needs to change. So you need to make a list of the relationships you have. And sometimes it's more like, sometimes you need to break it out into, okay, what strong relationships do I feel like I have? Let's make a list. Let's look at it. How much effort is being put in, right? And it's not really an investing, you know, an equal amount. It's whether or not that relationship feels balanced. Because obviously, I mean, I grew up with a sister with special needs. There's obviously an amount of effort put into a relationship with a special needs person that is, you know, the effort back sometimes can't be there, right? And that can be applied to, you know, like as a mother, I know that right now my job is to pour more into the relationship than I'm expecting back out. And that's just how that relationship structure is. That's the expectation, right? That's my expectation. That's my healthy view of it. And I feel good about it. But what I'm saying is, if you have a friend down the street who always needs you and always needs you to be dropping everything to go run to their aid, and always, and you're on the back burner for her, that's probably not productive. That's probably not helpful. And it's also probably something that you need to address, whether or not that's worthwhile. So, number one, try social media on the positive side. Number two, try to be a gatherer. Number three, make a list. I know it sounds cruel. I know it sounds cruel and it sounds harsh. Make it mentally if you don't feel like you can write it down. Make it mentally and just think through your relationships and think, okay, if these are my relationships that I wish I was closer to, and I am only pouring in this amount, and maybe I can change that amount, I can change the feel of what I'm doing by doing something different. So if I am calling somebody once a week to check in, but I know that they love getting mail, maybe I call, but I also like think of them and send a quick piece of mail. Do some, you know, make a closer connection a different way. Anyway, okay. So number one, the basis of all relationships come from how we interacted as children. Number two, we can find out what kind of relationships we actually need by knowing what we want. We know what we want by knowing who we are. And number three, tools to build better relationships are based on your needs and your wants as that adult human. And those tools may be different for you, but I would say if you're looking to make stronger relationships, try social media, try being a gatherer, and try to make a list about your current relationships and see where that gets you. So I hope everybody has a really fun weekend planned. We have beautiful weather here in Utah. We are very excited. We have a little family event going on this weekend that that our household has been prepping for and so excited about. And we've been searching for sort of some, you know, some things to do in order to get ready for that. So it's been really fun. And I am so happy that you listened today. And I really want to encourage you, if you loved this episode or liked it or thought I had brought up some good points, we have 16 reviews right now on Apple Podcasts. And I would absolutely love it if you would go leave a review, or if you would take a screenshot on your phone and send that screenshot to a friend and recommend it to them. So we get ranked on Apple Podcasts based on reviews, and I'm not looking to get ranked. I am just looking for more feedback from people so that they can, you know, it can be a recommended podcast for people. And I just want to remind you, I do have a little pitch usually at the end of my podcasts every time. And it's really kind of become rote, so I'm just going to try and do it from memory. And I want you to know that I do this podcast because of the mission that I have at our family foundation called the Oliver Fund. It is about how children need childhood, and they need healthy childhood, and they need imaginative play in order to become more productive adults. Children that don't use their imagination don't generally grow up to be adults who use their imagination, and the creativity in the world and innovation in the world goes down if we don't foster that. So right now we are, you know, working on getting playthings not just in communities across the world, but in our community, and we would love more suggestions as to where that can go. You can contact us on our website at theoliverfund.org, or you can find me on any social media platform at the Oliver Fund, also at Art of Play Podcast. And I really want you to have a good weekend. It's a beautiful weekend, and I'm hoping I will lead you to your weekend a little more hopeful and hopefully more happily playful, if only for 5 minutes.